Good evening, Bill.
Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Once again, you are now again tuned to are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. But as I always do, and especially for the first-time listeners, I see we have a lot of new listeners. I thank God, and to God be the glory. And we thank God for the even more listeners that's going to come aboard in the future. But for right now, we're going to get ready to go into prayer. Before we do that, I'm asking all the listeners, especially the new listeners on tonight, get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God in the presence of none other than Deacon Edward Blakely. He is a member of Morning Star Baptist Church located on the east side of Detroit, Michigan. Well, his pastor is none other than Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. So Deacon Blakely will be coming forth shortly to bring forth and share with us the word of God on tonight. So I pray that you get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he gets ready to deliver God's word. But we always go in prayer first. So I'm asking our listeners, please go into prayer with me at this time because we serve a God that can hear all of our prayers at the same time. What an awesome God we serve. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is once again, we come in that precious name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. It is in his name that we come on tonight, giving you praise. We give you glory and honor because of who you are. You're so worthy of our praise, Heavenly Father. We come now in the name of Jesus Christ, asking, Heavenly Father, that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions and blot out all of our iniquities. In Jesus' name, starting with myself, and I include my entire family. I include Deacon Edward Blakely and his entire family and every faithful, committed doer of your word all over the land on tonight. Forgive us of all of our sins, Heavenly Father, so that our work for you would not be in vain, that you will be glorified through it all is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we come now lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. And Heavenly Father, we want to lift up in a special way those that are dealing with mental issues and mental illness and challenges on tonight, because we know that it's nobody but the enemy. And we know that your word says we can be transformed, and we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we know that that's where the battle is. It's in the mind. And we know that the enemy is trying to attack so many people's minds so that they can stay spiritually blind, so that they will not come to know who you are and know your son Jesus Christ and be saved in his name. So that's why we come in tonight on their behalf. And not only them, Heavenly Father, we look at everyone that may be listening tonight that is not saved in your son Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that something will be said through your word on tonight that will touch their hearts to the point that they will be able to open their own mouth after their spiritual eyes have become open. They will open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts and save them. And once they're saved on tonight, yes, Lord, even tonight, save them as they hear your word so that they will come to know, they will come to live in, walk in, and fulfill their God purposes in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in each one of us for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. I thank you personally for every trial, for every enemy, every tear, every pain, every disappointment that have come my way. They all have come to make me stronger in you. And not only me, but every faithful, committed doer of your word. We go through trials and tribulations because we know that they are the testing of our faith. So we thank you for every trial and every test, because we know that through you and with you, all things are possible. And we know that all things are working together for our good to them that love the Lord and to them that are the called according to your purpose. So we pray, Lord, that you will continue to move by your spirit through Deacon Blakely on tonight. Continue to love him and strengthen him. Grant him the desires of his heart, not only him, but every faithful listener on tonight. Move by your spirit in each life that you will be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well,
amen.
We have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, and this goes for me as well, Christians, stop competing. Stop competing with others. Fulfill your own God purpose. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, Christians, stop competing with others. Fulfill your own God purpose. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at @James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, in the form of announcements, I do have two announcements that I'm excited to bring forth to the listeners on tonight. I pray that you will be available on Saturday, July the 7th, to tune into this worldwide ministry and be blessed by none other than Minister, Dr. Author Eddie Connor. He was my very first guest on my very first show in July of 2013. He will be my special guest on Saturday, July 7th. This young man, when he was at the age of around 14 years old, he had stage 4 cancer, and he had 5 doctors assigned to him, and they told his mother, who is also a doctor, they told her as they opened him up, they can actually see the cancer growing, and he would not live to see past 14. But thank God that God has the last word, and he's still a miracle worker. And Dr. Eddie Connor is living proof, just as I am and just as a lot of world listeners on tonight. You are living proof that God is still working miracles even today. Dr. Eddie Connor is around 35 now, 34, 35 years old now. But God stepped in. God still had a purpose for his life. And since that day, this young man has now obtained his doctor's degree. He has obtained his PhD. He is now a professor at one of our local colleges here in Michigan, and he has also authored and written 8 books. He is an international world renowned motivational speaker. He has appeared on the Steve Harvey Show. This young man is an awesome man of God with a great, powerful testimony. So I want you all to tune in on Saturday, July the 7th, and tune in, be blessed by this man of God and hear what the Lord is going to say through him. And also, I want to announce that my Bishop James A. Jennings, I want to give a shout out to him and to my church family, the Greater Children Faith Baptist Church, located on the east side of Detroit, on a crane right off of Agnes. His armor bearer, Bishop James A. Jennings, armor bearer, my friend in the gospel, my brother in Christ, Minister Saran Rambis, he comes forth over this same platform every first Thursday night sharing the word of God. Well, the Lord has opened another door for him. Now he will be hosting his own internet radio show up under my direction starting on August the 9th. He will be starting hosting his very own show. And a ministry I'm possible is the title of his show. So he will be on Thursday, August the 9th, and he will be coming on from 6:30 to 7 p.m. So you want to tune in and be blessed by this, another awesome young man of God. So I'm excited for what the Lord is going to do through him and through his new radio show. But he, again, will be still coming on my show every first Thursday. Again, you know, my show starts at 8 p.m. So you want to continue to tune in and be blessed by another awesome man of God. But right now, before we bring forth Deacon Blakely to share with us the word of God, again, today is Thursday, June 28th, 2018. Again, I do pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along with the man of God as he gets ready to deliver God's word. But before he comes forth with the word, we're going to go to our music break. And we need to know that we are covered by the Lord for such a time as this, because we are truly living in the last and evil days, because we see that man has twisted things around, and whatever is right in the sight of God is wrong in the sight of man, and the total opposite. And that's what the Lord said. And men pleases, and they are pleasing the flesh, the lust of the flesh of their own eyes, and the love of money is the root of all evil. So is there so much going on in the world? And we should not be surprised. The word of God told us these things were going to happen. So we need to know that we are covered by the Lord on tonight. So that's what we're going to play for our music break, Cover Me, Lord. So following this music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Edward Blakely as he gets ready to deliver God's word with us and share the good news of Jesus Christ with us on tonight. Enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. be covered today. Oh, cover me. Oh,
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord on tonight. Don't you know that it's good to know that you're covered by the blood of Jesus? You're covered by the Lamb of God on tonight. So we need to know that we need to be reminded that we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're living in the last days. And while we are praying, I forgot to mention this in my prayers, but I want the saints to pray along with me and keep the families in prayer of those that have been separated by their parents. Through the move of the hand of President Donald Trump, and a lot of these children are still separated from their families, and this type of thing should never have taken place in the first place. This is my opinion, and I know that a lot of people feel the same way that I do. So we know that the Lord is in control. No matter how man thinks that he may be in control, he may have limited power, but God has all power. So I thank God that he's in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like, no matter who think they are in control. We as Christians have to know that God is in total control and he has the last word and that he is not like man. So we want to continue to lift up all those families that are dealing with this issue of being separated from their loved ones. And also we want to continue to pray for the families that there was a mass shooting. I just heard this on the world news before we came on the air today. Over 5 people was killed in an office complex, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But we want to pray for those families that have been affected by that mass shooting. There's just so much going on in the world today. Again, we should not be surprised. That's why we need to know that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. And it's so important to know that you're saved on tonight, that you are connected to Jesus Christ. And that when your time comes, because he said it has been appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we will see Jesus. We're going to meet him face to face, whether he come back first or we see him after we have left this earthly tabernacle. So it's good to know that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. So I'm asking all listeners, keep the families in prayer, those that have been separated from their families, those children and those innocent parents, not only those, but all those that have been affected by mass shootings and all the devastation that's going on in the world today. We need to continue to cover each other in prayer, because the word of God said the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. So right now, we're so excited to bring forth Deacon Edward Blakely. I now yield the mic to you to deliver God's word.
Amen. Father God, thank you for this lesson today, Father God. And Father God, let us not underestimate what you can do in us and through us. We do not know all of your purposes for us, but we do know that nothing is too hard for you to do. We pray for the steadfastness of our souls and to continue to pursue knowing you, even in the face of the enemy's resistance, and we pray that our faith grows. We pray that our faith is strong enough to keep us to believe that your word, deeply planted in us, can strengthen us for even the most difficult task. And Father God, we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Our lesson today, well, we're going to do a lesson, a Sunday school lesson today. It is the parable of the unforgiving servant. And that printed text will be from Matthew chapter 18, 21 to 35. And we're gonna explore Jesus, his answers to why we should forgive. The parable title is the Unforgiven Spirit, the Unforgiven Servant. And we're going to start. I'm reading from the NLT, and Matthew's 18, starting at verse 21. We'll start here, and then we'll explore. Then Peter came unto him, asking, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times?" "No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 7 times, 70 times 7. Therefore, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. But he couldn't pay. He could not pay that $1 million. So his master ordered that he should be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' Then the master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient with me,' he said, 'and I will pay it all,' he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants just as I had mercy on you?' Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tormented until he had paid his entire debt. Then Jesus said, after Jesus finished the parable, then he said, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart.'" Amen. May a blessing come from the reading of the word, a special blessing come from the reading of the word today to the hearer of the word. Amen. Well, as we get into this lesson, we want to see why, how important, or just how much importance we put on forgiveness, or how, why it's important to forgive. Peter's question, we're going to go over verse by verse. Peter's question to Jesus was, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sinned against me? Peter said, 7 times? Well, in that time, the rabbis were teaching that you should forgive your people who sinned against you. You should forgive them 3 times. But Peter wanted to go overboard. Peter wanted to be extra generous. And he said, Lord, 7 times? He asked Jesus. And Jesus said, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Here we see Jesus, he's not counting. His answer is he's really saying it's really not a matter of counting. Because when we forgive from the heart, forgiveness should be from the heart. Forgiveness should be something that we practice every day, and we shouldn't be counting. And we're going to go to verse 23. Therefore, he's going into the explanation. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who owed him money. In the process, one of the debtors was brought to him who owed him millions of dollars. This servant, I want you to think of this servant as his employees. He's king. And we're looking at an example of how God is, how he considers forgiveness, how important forgiveness is. This man had received forgiveness from God, from his master. But his master, he received the forgiveness. But I want to stress that he received his everything that God, that Jesus talks about in these parables. He's comparing a earthly thing with a spiritual thing, a physical thing with a spiritual thing. And here, this man, he received a blessing from his master. He received forgiveness from his master. But did he really receive it? He did receive it. He received a physical. He received the physical forgiveness of the debt, but did he really receive forgiveness in his heart, the spiritual side? Because everything has its natural side and its physical side, its spiritual side and its natural and its physical side. So he received the debt. He received the clearance or the deliverance from the debt on the physical side, but he did not receive it in his heart. And we'll see as we go along how important is receiving from God what God gives us, receiving it in our hearts. We oftentimes receive something in our heads, but we don't receive it in our hearts. And if we haven't received it in our hearts, then we can't reciprocate. We can't reciprocate, and we can't share it with others what we have received. The man, the wicked servant, he had received, I keep repeating that over, he had received a physical deliverance from his debt, but in his heart he did not receive what his master was actually giving him. In his heart, he was giving him a release. So he went right away after being forgiven of all that debt. We see that enormous amount. I don't know how he got to owe somebody millions of dollars, but he was forgiven of all that debt. he received it in his head. But if he had received it in his heart, he would have went out there, and when he saw his fellow servant or fellow employee, he would have forgiven that debt. Because on his heart, if he had received from God in his heart, he would do the same thing. Well, when we say, you know, we receive from God forgiveness so that we know how to forgive. God gives us things. He gives us blessings to bless others. We can say it like that. He blessed him with something that he received in order to bless someone else. If someone were to forgive me all of the debt that I have, I would feel pretty good about that. I would have a good feeling in my heart. And anybody who owed me, I would be able to say, hey, you know what? You can kind of forget that. That's really not nothing compared to what God has done for me. And I don't know how we can dare receive forgiveness from God and not forgive others. And this debt, he could not pay it back. He couldn't pay it. Where am I? Oh. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please, be patient with me. I will pay it all. Then the master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave him his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, a few lousy thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Because he didn't receive it in his heart, he couldn't reciprocate. He couldn't do the same with his fellow servants. And then that inability to forgive, that unforgiveness, that he had an unforgiving spirit in his heart. That unforgiving spirit creates a degree of anger. You know, when somebody does something to us, and we feel like we have a right to retaliate, and we have a right to harbor our anger, harbor our feelings, and we have some right to retaliate, then an anger builds up in us. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. He wanted to be paid right now. His fellow servant fell down and did the same thing with him. He begged for a little more time. He didn't ask him to forgive the debt. And if you notice, the master who forgave the first servant, he didn't ask him to for a payment plan. He didn't ask him to sell something of his and or anything. He just completely forgave him. But here, the wicked servant, he can't give him a break. He can't even, because he got this anger in his heart because this man owes him. And I will pay it, he said, and the servant went, and his fellow servant begged him and pleaded with him. But he wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants had saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. I mean, we have this thing that sometimes we don't know, or we're not aware of ourselves. We're not aware, you know. Sometimes, you know, I'm saying, oh Lord, forgive them. I want to be right, Lord. I want to forgive. I want to forgive. Look what they did to me, Lord. Forgive them. Look what they did to me, Lord. Forgive them. But I'm not realizing myself what I've done to others. And sometimes it's just like that. Sometimes people just are just totally unaware of the fact that they hurt others as well as being hurt. There's nobody under the sun who hasn't been hurt or done wrong in some way, or been hurt by someone or hurt someone in some way. But the main thing is this is the part that we really need to pay attention to, because Jesus is explaining to them how this master who was forgiving is like our Father in heaven. This earthly master is like our Father in heaven is like that. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters with your heart. That is key. The heart is key. God only deals with your heart. He only deals with what is in your heart. We tend to take what's in God's hand, and we're satisfied with that, rather than seeing what God intends, what's God's heart, what is the intention in God's heart. What does he want from us? How does he expect us to react? But we can take this, or we can also take this lesson and just ask ourselves this question. Why? Why do we forgive? Why is it important to forgive? I got a little list here. It's one, forgiveness is a form of surrender and release. Expands our capacity to love one another. When we have things against each other, if we allow, if somebody does me wrong and I go to them and tell them what it is you've done wrong, if they acknowledge it, then I can forgive them. And if I forgive them, then they are released. And so am I. We are both released. And our capacity to love one another, each other, and to love those around us, it expands, because that grief and that anger is not being harbored in the spot where love should be. Forgiving others, true forgiveness, blends both mercy and justice. This is what this is about, really, about God's justice, how God is just when he sees unforgiveness in you. It blends mercy with justice. Three, being forgiven by others helps us to see. This is another reason for forgiveness. When I'm forgiven by others, because I'm not aware that I've hurt you or hurt someone or talked about someone out of turn or something, and that person forgives me, it helps me to see my own errors. It helps me to see that I'm also guilty. I'm also guilty, and it makes it easier for me to forgive others. Four, forgiveness turns away false messages of harsh self-judgment. When we forgive, and when we are forgiven, we don't have this message. The enemy is always trying to message to us that, you know, I have a right. You have a right to this anger. You have a right to this unforgiveness. You have a right to harbor this ill feeling toward your fellow man. But that quickness, that when we forgive quickly, and quickly, when we forgive really quickly, it takes away the enemy's chance to harbor, to give us a feeling of a righteous anger. And five, and this may be the most important one, forgiveness helps to transform both the forgiver and the forgiven victim to survive from the helpless into the powerful. People to act and move like Jesus. Forgiveness, when we forgive, we are imitating Christ. I think of Luke 23. I see Jesus on the cross. And Jesus says, as he looks down off the cross and he sees all those soldiers gambling for his clothes and the thieves on the cross railing at him, and all the people who are chanting out there, and all those who spit on him and nail the cross, a crown of thorns to his head. He's looking at all this, and his only concern is, Father, forgive. He says, Father, forgive them. He says, Father, forgive them. And he's on that cross. His whole purpose for being there is for our forgiveness. If he had not gone to that cross, that was his purpose on the cross, for the forgiveness of sin. His whole purpose there was forgiveness. You see a love that's unmatched. You see forgiveness that's unmatched. He forgave. He so loved that he gave his life. That is the epitome. That is the ultimate love. But you will not, and you can look as long as you like, you will not find forgiveness without love. Forgiveness from the heart without love. They go together like grace and mercy. You don't see one without the other. This is a matchless act of forgiveness. And how dare we set ourselves up? And if we set ourselves up to hold on to anger, actually what we're saying is, I deserve my anger more so than Jesus did. Jesus was without sin. He never harmed a soul, and his concern was forgiveness. He died so that we might be forgiven. We'll have the ability to be forgiven. But how dare we claim that we, in our unrighteousness, have the right to unforgiveness? We can't. That's pretty much the essence of the lesson. And we can go. When I was trying to get to the point of imitating Christ, we see in Acts, I believe it's Acts 7 as well, Acts 7, around chapter 54 to 60, we see Stephen, after he shared the word of Jesus Christ with all the Pharisees and told them of their wrong, they took him out and they stoned him to death. And just as his last breath, as he took his last breath, he told them, I saw heaven. He said he saw heaven open up and Jesus standing at the throne. Well, when you go to Jesus on the cross, he died, he resurrected, and he ascended into heaven to be seated on the throne at the right hand of God. But when Stephen was sacrificed or gave his life for the sake of Christ, He said in his very words before he died that he saw Jesus. He said the heavens opened up and he saw Jesus standing. And we all know Jesus ascended to heaven and he was sitting. He was standing. And Stephen imitated Jesus' forgiveness, his love and his forgiveness. He said, forgive them. Even Stephen said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is the greatest demonstration of love. Of love. God forgave because he loved. He commanded us through the commandments, on top of the commandments, to love one another. And you can't see love without forgiveness. You cannot love me and never forgive me. You cannot forgive me and not love me. God has got this thing so wrapped up in a nice package to where we have to understand. And this very, very same thing that he states at the very end of this message. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. That is important, from your heart. Jesus forgave from his heart. Stephen forgave from his heart. God forgives us from his heart. God is always dealing with our heart. Whatever we receive from God, we have to receive it by the heart. And how can we think? How can we think in our imagination, we as believers, you know, go and receive communion? We pray. We pray for God's blessings. We pray for, you cannot walk with God with an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit is not of God. And God cannot operate with you. It doesn't mean he leaves you, because when he gave us the gift of salvation, that is a gift that requires nothing of us but to accept Jesus Christ. But this gift of forgiveness, it has a requirement. It requires us to do the same. It requires us to forgive one another. This gift requires, it's a favor or a gift given by God. Well, if you look back and you take the servant, the wicked servant who received the wiping out of his debt, he received a physical gift, but he did not receive in his heart the goodness of the king, the good intention of the king, of his master. He didn't receive it in his heart. So his master was angry with him. He was angry because of how his treatment of his fellow servants, but he was also truly angry because he did not imitate him. He didn't follow what he was doing, as we need to follow Christ. As God blessed us with forgiveness, then we need to follow Christ. Christ forgave. Stephen forgave. It's the following of Christ that separates us. There's always two sides to these parables. There's always the, like I said, the physical side and the spiritual side. And if we are on the physical side of it, receiving the physical benefits of it, and we throw away the physical, the spiritual benefit of it, then we are on the wrong side of God. And we cannot walk with God on his wrong side. We cannot strive with God on his wrong side. We cannot imitate Christ if we can't be transformed into the likeness of Christ without forgiveness. as hard as we may try, as hard as we may study, as hard as we may work, we cannot strive, we cannot walk with him. It's like two people who have a anger toward each other and try to work together. They can't. Eventually they're going to separate. God, we cannot walk with Christ with unforgiveness, with an unforgiving spirit. We also see here that there's another message here as well. Well, it's still the same message, that sometimes we think that we're doing enough, but we really need to be, instead of, you know, as I was saying earlier, as Peter questioned Jesus about how many times should I forgive, you know, he's saying forgiving. Jesus really is actually saying forgiving from the heart should be a way of life, not a matter of how many times or keeping score on how many times did I forgive this person, how many times did I forgive that person. Our hearts should be ready to forgive. When someone does something to me, my heart should be looking for a way, quickly looking for a way to forgive, looking for a way to solve this issue. This is really anger management. It's what we call today anger management. We try to teach our children how to handle things when you're angry, not to resort to this or not to resort to that, but resort to something good. This is a perfect anger management course that Jesus is giving them right now. Because if we don't have forgiveness, we will turn angry. And also that anger makes us sick. Anger is like, it can create a disease within the body. It can cause us to be physically sick. It can cause us to feel an air of feeling that everybody not owes us something, but everybody has done me wrong. And I have a right to this anger. I have a right to lash out. I have a right. But when we consider how much we've been forgiven, if we have that and we rehearse that in our lives each and every day, we rehearse forgiveness at every opportunity we get. We rehearse forgiveness. If we do that, then forgiveness comes. It comes. That's forgiving spirit comes. It comes within us, and we are able to look at every situation as an opportunity to become closer or to be more transformed in the image of Christ by forgiveness. All these things that Jesus talks to us about, they're not for no reason at all. They're not just to solve a today, a minute-to-minute problem. It's to solve a lifetime problem. The problem we have of unforgiveness, it causes all sorts of problems. So if we build a lifestyle of forgiveness, lifestyle of forgiveness combat those problems. Let me move on to something else. Here it is right here. The amazing benefit of being a Christian is growing in the rooted community of believers who help each other walk through life with Jesus. Your church, your family, made up of flawed individuals. We are a body of flawed individuals. And many times as we come together, we are always going to have something. We are always going to have something that might rub one another the wrong way. So as we practice this spirit of forgiveness, start walking in the spirit of forgiveness, we also strengthen ourselves in that. We strengthen ourselves in the ability to forgive. The accountability of forgiveness. If the first man in the story owed the king millions, the second man owed the first man a few thousand. That's not to say that the amount wasn't sufficient, because it was. What the average person in a poor economy might earn over 3 months, such a debt can be sufficient to some living on a meager income. Well, the comparing, I don't like to compare that, you know, but I guess Jesus is the amount of the debt owed to the first servant, the amount of debt of the first servant to the king or to the master was so great he could never, ever pay it back. But the amount second servant owed to the first servant was something that was manageable, something that he could have said, well, look, okay, you owe me. And if he acknowledged the debt, then he'd say, well, I could pay it, but I'd have to pay, like I said earlier, I have to make payments on this and just pay it off. But some of us, we can't see. We can't see because we don't practice walking in the Spirit. God asks us to walk in the Spirit. He deals with our heart. Again, he deals with our heart, and only with our heart. And what we receive, we have to receive it in the Spirit. And what we give, we have to give it in the Spirit. We have to give it from our heart. If I give forgiveness, if I give any gift, or if I give anything, it should be from my heart. What motivates me? What is the motivation for me for giving? Is it because I love, or is it because of some other reason? Anything other than because the reason that I am forgiven. Anything other than the reason that I am forgiven, that God has forgiven me. He's forgiven me way beyond what I could ever pay. And there's no reason, there's no humanly reason why I cannot forgive others. And I think that's kind of wrap. That's about our hour, our half hour, isn't it?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Deacon Blakely, I thank you for sharing that powerful message on tonight, the unforgiven servant. And just to think about this. Now, what if Jesus had did like some of us do, not forgive others? Then Jesus, his going on the cross would have been in vain. So what he did, like you said, even in his suffering, even through his being humiliated and being spat upon, he turned around and said, forgive them, talking to God, the Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And if that's why it's so important that we're going to be Christ-like, that we have to learn how to forgive. And like you said, and it's from our hearts, because if we're doing it from lip service only, that's why I love about God. He searches our hearts. He knows if we're truly forgiving someone from our hearts, or we just saying it for lip service to get someone off our backs for the moment. So we, as Christians, and you said it right, it's a lifestyle. We should be learning how to forgive one another each and every day. Just like God forgives us every day, we are to turn around and forgive each other every day, just like Christ would. So Deacon Blakely, we thank you for sharing that powerful word on tonight. I know that I was blessed by it. I know that the listeners were blessed by it as well. So we just want to say thank you again for coming forth and sharing this good news on tonight. And we pray that someone has received it in love on tonight. And I pray that, Lord, that the Lord will continue to bless you and use you. Continue to stay on the wall and be a servant of the Most High God that he have called and appointed and ordained for you to be to such a time as this. Well, listeners, for tonight, that's our program for tonight. I pray that you was blessed by it. We're going to close out in prayer, as we always do. And I pray that you will be blessed on tomorrow, more so than you was even on today. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know that we don't deserve them, but we thank you that you look beyond our faults and saw our needs. And we thank you that you're not like man. You forgive and you forget. So we just bless your name on tonight. We thank you for this word that went forth with power through your man of God, Deacon Blakely. Continue to bless him. Continue to bless every faithful, committed doer of your word all over the land. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer in Jesus' name that you be glorified through us all individually and then as a corporate body of believers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all the people of God said amen. Well, we pray
amen.
That you were blessed by the word on tonight. I know I was blessed by it. So we're going to turn around until the next time and say we're going to continue on and give God praise. Why? He is worthy to be praised. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Amen.
With all my soul.